Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Fort Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, December 19th, and we're glad you're tuned in and listening and glad to be able to be broadcasting over WSOF and WAJJ Christian Radio. I want to remind you again that we do have these messages in what's called podcast form, minus the music. We have these recorded at our website at wsof.org. You can download those and listen to them at your convenience and hope that it will be a real blessing and will be used of the Lord to bring glory and honor unto His holy and honorable name. Amen. Well, I hope you're having a good day in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord as we're here at this time of year that is Christmas time. These holiday times, in some ways, they get very busy. In some ways, they get be a little bit slack. You know, things, we don't have as much going on in the work as we have had. And so we rejoice in that. But things get a little bit hectic and trying to get gifts together and plan meals and plan get-togethers and things such as that. But what a blessing it is to be able to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and remember the fact that Christ was born. Now, we don't know exactly what day, but I'm sure that doesn't really matter so much. It's the fact that He came, that God was manifest in the flesh, that God did come and dwell among men. He did that men might be saved. He didn't just come to show us a better way of living, although we need a better way of living. No, He didn't just come to heal men and women of their diseases, though that was needed. He came to die. He came to suffer on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of our sin against a holy God. Christ took our place. Christ paid the price that we couldn't pay. Thank God He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, we're looking forward to midweek prayer service tomorrow night. I want to encourage you to come out and be with us, 7 o'clock p.m. right here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, very easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road. We'd love to have you with us on this Wednesday night if you can come and be with us in those services. And we're going to move right along in the program. We do have prayer time today as we have prayer meeting on the midweek prayer service. We like to have prayer every day on the broadcast. We're going to do that even now. And if you would and could, bow and let's pray together. Father, I love You and thank You for Your grace and goodness in my life. I want to thank You, Father, for Your and Your blessings in our life. Father, I want to thank You for the prayers that You've answered as we were praying earlier about my mother and the fact that they had found some kind of a mass on her kidney. And we did get the report back. Mom called to let us know that they said that it seemed might have been a fatty tumor of some kind, but it seemed to be nothing to worry about, although they are going to refer her to her general physician and find out where the pain's coming from, because they said they don't believe that is where the pain is coming from that she's experiencing. So, Father, I do pray for the continued need there, but I want to praise Your name for the fact that no cancer, no cancerous tumor, and Lord, for Your hand of protection being there. Father, I want to thank You that Sister Jennifer Rickard's dad, Larry Belt, is doing well with his treatments. And Father, I pray You'd continue to touch and help him. I want to thank You, Lord, that Brother Joe Adams did get to go home from the hospital after that stroke. And last I heard, doing better, and we're grateful and thankful for that. Brother Sammy Allen did get to go home after the heart attack and the pneumonia that he had. And my understanding, doing well. And we're grateful, dear God, for that. I pray for these folks in the time following their sickness, that they would heal and be well. Lord, I do pray for Brother George Woodard with his kidney situation, that You'd meet his needs. I pray for Sister Sharon with her pain problems and needs that she has. Brother and Sister Hall and their health. Lord, would You touch those? I pray for Sister Holiday and her ears, Sister Newble and her eyes. Lord, I pray for the different needs of different folks that we know about. But I pray especially, Lord, for those that are unsaved, those young people in particular that's in my mind that I'm thinking about that are doing things things they know better than to do. They've turned their back on the truth. They've had the light shine to them, and they've turned towards the darkness. And as our Lord said, how great is that darkness when they close their eyes to the truth and they are encompassed by the darkness. How great is that darkness. But I'm glad, dear God, that you're greater. I'm glad that the blood that goes deeper than the stain has gone, as Brother Roloff sings and reminds us, and we're thankful for that. And so, Father, I'm praying for the cleansing blood. I'm praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to take the good seed of the gospel and prick their heart and bring them to a place of faith and repentance, that they turn to God and be saved before it is too late. Bless the program, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I certainly do appreciate you praying with us, and I thank God for the privilege to pray. Thank Him for the prayers that He has answered. Amen. We're going to move right along in the program. We do have a song that I want to play here headed towards Christmas time. And we've got a song by the Sugar Grove Singers that we played last year along this time. And I hope it's a blessing to your heart. The Sugar Grove Singers singing Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. And I do appreciate that good Christmas song from the Sugar Grove Singers. Hope that was a blessing to your heart. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas as we're headed on towards that way. Amen. But I do have another song I want to play on the broadcast today. This is one by the Primitive Quartet that I've been playing some little bit recently. It goes right along with the message we're preaching on the fact that God was manifest in the flesh. We call it the mystery of godliness, as Paul called it there in our scripture reading. But we're looking at the Primitive Quartet singing this song, When the Shepherd Became the Lamb. I hope this song will bless you. If you listen to the words, it'll do just that. All right, I trust that song was a blessing to your heart. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, as we've been preaching on this series, I mentioned to you that the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy is the young pastor of the church at Ephesus at the time of this writing. Paul had left Timothy at Ephesus to set things in order. And Timothy, being the pastor, was doing that very work. Well, Paul is giving him some instruction. And he said, my intention is to come and give you some hands-on training, to give you some personal, one-on-one training. But he said, if I tarry long, in the case that I can't get there, I'm writing you these things that you might know how you ought to pastor. That's how you behave yourself in the house of God. How you be the pastor, how you do the preaching that you ought to preach. And so he goes right straight to godliness, the mystery of godliness. Now, my point has been this all along, is that people in our nature, we understand ungodliness. But godliness is a mystery. How can a man be right with God? How can a man be just before God? Job asked that question, and it's an age-old question. And so Paul says, if people want to know godliness, and they will, they need to know that, then they're going to have to see God. Godliness is God-likeness. They've got to see something that's like God. So he said, here's your preaching. Your preaching needs to point them to God. You need to show them God. Well, God's a spirit. And so how can we see God? Well, God took a flesh, took a body of flesh. And that is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so he goes down through that great mystery of godliness. And I broke it down. There's seven statements in verse number 16, and we've looked at them one by one. First of all, we talked about the apostle's revelation. The apostle shows us, reveals to us, that this mystery of godliness is a great mystery, and that there is no controversy about that. Not only do we see the apostle's revelation, but we also saw the Father's manifestation. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Then we notice the Spirit's vindication. He said, justified in the Spirit. And I mentioned to you that we children of God, those that have been saved by the grace of God, have been justified by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's a capital S. The Holy Spirit justifies us. Amen. God saved us. He gave us a new spirit. But Jesus never needed a new spirit. Jesus had the Spirit of God. Though he was a body of flesh, he was a man, yet he had the Spirit of God. And so he was justified in the Spirit. The Spirit proved him to be all he claimed to be. And then the angels examined him. The angels' examination, he said, seen of angels. They examined him and proved him to be all that he claimed to be. Then we went from there to talk about the preacher's proclamation. They said he was preached unto the Gentiles. And then we ended up yesterday with the believer's affirmation. He is to be believed on in the world. Now today I want to begin with what we call the Savior's exaltation, received up into glory. Can I say that this is the climax of this powerfully important statement about the earthly ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Not only did he come as God in the flesh, not only did he prove in his spirit that he was just, not only did he prove to the angels that he was what he claimed to be, not only is he preached and should be to be proved to others and then believed by others. And again, that's proof again, but he was received up into glory. Amen. We see in this verse that he came into the world and proved that he was what he claimed. And then he now is exalted on high by his loving Heavenly Father, and the host of heaven all adore him. This is the last branch of this wonderful statement, but it is certainly not the least. This statement is the consummation of the great mystery of godliness. Notice how our text states this, received up into glory. Now, compare that with the view of the apostles in Luke chapter 24 and verse 51. The Bible says, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So we see that from the earthly perspective of the disciples, Jesus ascended up into heaven. But from the heavenly perspective, he was received up into glory. Amen. That shows us the exaltation of Christ. You see, in our original text, the Holy Ghost inspired the Apostle Paul to begin with, God was manifest in the flesh. There is the descent. God, if I could say it this way, stepped down from the throne into this world to be born into the body of a flesh. Truly, it is a great mystery that the great God of heaven and earth could descend, or would descend, into the womb of a virgin, and then to descend to the lowest part of the earth. Psalm 139, verse number 15, says it this way, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Mankind is the lowest part of the earth. Jesus, God in the flesh, descended to become part of the lowest part of the earth. But then he descended to be in the likeness of men. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But he didn't just descend to the lowest part of the earth. He didn't just descend to the likeness of men, but he descended to the lowest hell. Psalm 86, verse 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. He descended and descended again and descended even more. And then he ends up received up into glory. Amen. You see, the ascent from whence the descent was. Christ ascended and was received as high as the place was from which he came down. I said he stepped down from the throne, never relinquishing his throne. When it's time to step back up, he steps back up all the way to the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. This same Jesus who descended lower than anyone else ever has or ever could descend is now exalted higher than anyone else ever could be. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 9 says it this way, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Amen. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the beginning of it all. Received up into glory. That is the consummation and the ending of it all. It implies all of Christ's ministry. His exaltation, his resurrection, being lifted up on the cross, that exaltation, his resurrection, his ascension, his sitting at the right hand of God, his coming to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. This all shows that Jesus Christ ascended. And this shows the glory after his resurrection. Now, would you give me just a few moments? I know I don't have it today, but we'll look at it. I want to think on some of the facts of Christ's ascension, some of the facts of Christ's reception and exaltation. I want to look at four simple but profound facts. First of all, I want to look at where Christ was received up. I want to look at when Christ was received up. I want to look at who witnessed Christ being received up. And finally, I want to look at the way in which Christ was received up. I believe that by reviewing these facts, we will have cause to exalt the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ and praise His name even more. Friend, the way up is down. You will never get up to heaven until you bow your knee to Christ, until you bow your head to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll never be exalted. There is no way to have the crown unless you accept the cross. Jesus took the cross. Amen. And if you will take His cross, if you will turn to Him and then take up your cross and follow Him, that means that His cross becomes your cross. You realize that He died in your place and you are to live in His place. Amen. I am crucified with Christ, Paul the Apostle said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Sinner friend, you've got to come to the place that you recognize Jesus died for you. You're willing to bow to His Lordship and live for Him and glorify Him. Then you can be saved. Then you can be exalted. Then you can be received up into glory on that glorious day. And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.